Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters and the Twisted Mister or two. We never know. I hope everyone's having a great week so far. I know it's only Tuesday, but, well, you know, we have to start somewhere. Anyway, hey, Pam, hey, Naomi, welcome aboard.
Hi,
hello.
Phil.
How
Hi,
goes
Naomi.
It
goes
very
well.
Good, very good. What a wonderful place to meet.
That song. How can you not feel all fired up after that song?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm just a chicken. There is a dancing chicken, though. I remember there was a dancing chicken, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah.
I can find it.
Yep.
I just don't remember what the cue is. Whatever. I said, whatever. Oh, my goodness gracious. So what's up, ladies? Anything good?
Oh,
I'm going to hand this over to Pam in 2 seconds.
Huh? Yeah. Life in general is good.
Yes.
Well,
summer's
a wonderful attitude
to
have. Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what. I'm going to hand it. Go ahead.
I just was going to say I actually got the first chance to sit out in the sun today. Like it was warm enough for me to do that. That's the first afternoon that I could do that.
Well, that's a good start.
So,
that's a good start.
Yeah.
Pam could do that, but she'd have to sit in the snow to do it. Right, Pam?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, here we have no snow, and you know, we only have sun every other day or every third day. So, it's like, whatever. You know how it is. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, Pam, I'm going to turn things over to you. I'm just going to sit here and be quiet for a while. Okay?
All right. Well, tonight's poetry, which I'm looking forward to, is inspired by Bill Watterson and Calvin and Hobbes. Bill Watterson is the creator, the cartoonist who created Calvin and Hobbes, the character of the little boy and his toy tiger that to him is real. To everyone else, it's seen as a toy. The contest itself chose some of the Calvin and Hobbes cartoons, cartoon strips or the art, Calvin and Hobbes artwork, for those that were actually fans or, you know, would be inspired by that. But then, you know, not everybody's into the Sunday comics from the 80s and 90s. Not everybody's, you know, into Calvin and Hobbes. I also put up some of Bill Watterson's quotes, and that way people didn't feel like they had to be a fan in order to write. And we actually got a nice variety of writes tonight, just really a nice variety of fun and heartfelt that I'm really looking forward to. I did write down some Calvin and Hobbes and Bill Watterson facts. First of all, Bill Watterson who is still alive, but only did the comic strip for 10 years, from 1985 to 1995, is very much a recluse, oftentimes refuses interviews, actually turned down, including Steven Spielberg, the opportunity to have Calvin and Hobbes made into a movie. Before he got the success he did with Calvin and Hobbes, he was a political cartoonist. He was actually going to college for political science and a grocery ad designer. Because of going to college for political science, he actually named the characters. Calvin was actually named after the theologian John Calvin. And Hobbes was named after Thomas Hobbes, the philosopher. A lot of his characters were based on real life, or not real life, either real life people that he knew, or little tidbits of himself, or, you know, famous ones. One of the most interesting to me is his teacher, Calvin's teacher, Miss Wormwood, a character in a comic strip, was actually named after the character Wormwood, who was the assistant devil in C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters. I personally found that to be a really interesting fact. And to me, I think one of the great things, a couple of the great things about Calvin and Hobbes is, first of all, it's timeless. There are some references to, like, it mentions there's, like, some political references to, you know, people running for president from, like, the 1980s and early 90s, you know. So that kind of stuff isn't timeless, but there's a lot that has to do with the innocence of childhood and the way a young child perceives things that is oftentimes timeless. You know, that is timeless to me. And also the humor, it's a great combination of slapstick humor, because they're always, Calvin and Hobbes are always physically active, and a kind of intelligent humor. And I'm probably talking a little too much, but you know, as you can tell, I am a fan. So, you know, whenever I pick out a topic that I like, even if nobody else does, I like to talk about it. So, but that's some of the stuff. I actually had a page bookmarked 60 facts to know about Calvin and Hobbes, but don't worry.
Oh my God.
I have no intention of letting you know all 60 of them.
Holy moly. Holy moly. Well, we'll only take the top 14. Sorry. 14 is the number, remember?
Oh, there you go.
Magic number, Pam.
Oh, my gosh.
Just so you know, we have someone on the line. Just so you know.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go ahead and bring them on, and then we can get this ball rolling.
Okay, here we go. Hello, area code 443. Who's calling, please?
Martha.
Hi, Martha.
Hey, Martha. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Martha. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Pam. It's all yours.
All right. Well, our first poem is our intro poem, which is A Nauseous Nocturne. By Bill Watterson. The link looks like it's broken, but if you click on the red part of the link, it actually does work. I tested it. So A Nauseous Nocturne by Bill Watterson, and we actually have a recording for that. So, Gene, whenever you're ready.
Hey, Nauseous Nocturne. Another night deprived of slumber, hours passing without number. My eyes trace round the room I lay. Dripping sweat, and now quite certain that tonight the final curtain drops upon my short life's precious play. From the darkness by the closet comes a noise much like a faucet, makes a maddening drip, drip, dripping sound. It seems some ill-proportioned beast, anticipating me deceased, is drooling poison puddles on the ground. A can of mace, a 45, is all I need to stay alive, but no weapon lies within my sight. Oh my gosh, a shadow's creeping, ominous and black, it's seeping. Slowly cross a moonlit square of light. Suddenly, a floorboard creak announces the blood-sucking freak is here to steal my future years away. A sulfurous smell now fills the room, heralding my imminent doom. A fang gleams in the dark and murky gray. Oh, blood red eyes and tentacles, throbbing pulsing ventricles, mucus oozing pores and frightful claws. Worse, in terms of outright scariness, are the suckers multifarious that grab and force you in its mighty jaws. This disgusting aberration of nature needs no motivation to devour helpless children in their beds. Relishing despairing moans, it chews kids up and sucks their bones and dissolves inside its mouth their little heads. I know this 'cause I read it not 2 hours ago, and then I got the heebie-jeebies and these awful shakes. My parents swore upon their honor that I was safe and not a goner. I guess tomorrow they'll see their sad mistakes. In the morning, they'll come in and say, what was that awful din we heard last night? You kept us both from sleep. Only then will they surmise the gruesomeness of my demise and see that my remains are in a heap. Dad will look at Mom and say, too bad he had to go that way. And Mom will look at Dad and nod assent. Mom will add, still it's fitting that as he was this world quitting, he should leave another mess before he went. They may not mind at first, I know. They will miss me later, though, and perhaps admit that they were wrong. As memories of me grow dim, they'll say, we were too strict with him. We should have listened to him all along. As speedily my end approaches, I bid a final buenas noches to my best friend here in all the world, gently snoring, whiskers seeming to sniff at smells. He must be dreaming. He lies snuggled in the blankets, curled. Hey, wake up, you stupid cretin. You gonna sleep while I get eaten? Suddenly, the monster knows I'm not alone. There's an animal in bed with me, an awful beast he did not see. The monster never would have come if he had known. The monster, in his consternation, demonstrates defenestration and runs and runs and runs and runs away. Rid of the pest, I now can rest, thanks to my best friend who saved the day. The end.
All right. Well, I really enjoyed that. I have to say, now, I know that was a few minutes long, which is usually about 4 minutes longer than most introduction poems for our Twisted Tuesday shows that I pick out. But it was just too perfect not to have it. You know, it was people who are looking at the link that I put up can see that. But I'll read out loud anyways. Anasha's Nocturne was a 78-line poem describing a monster stalking Calvin at night, patterned after Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. It was a piece of original content included in the essential Calvin and Hobbes at the beginning of the book. It was also on page 201 in book one of the complete Calvin and Hobbes. And I just thought it was an absolute delight to listen to, a wonderful parody. And like most of Bill Watterson's work with Calvin and Hobbes, it really just captured the dramatic imagination of a young child and his trust in his imaginary best friend. So, you know, and just wonderful humor in it. You know, it really just made me smile. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. You know, for a long poem, like, I didn't stop listening for a second, you know. This was just so enthralling. I just loved, like you said, the humor and how he captured Calvin, his character, you know. You can just imagine him saying all this and acting this way. And I just love Dad will look at Mom and say, too bad he had to go that way. And Mom will look at Dad and nod assent. Mom will add, still it's fitting that as he was this world quitting, he should leave another mess before he went. I giggled at that one. And then, you know, then he goes on to say they'll realize they were too strict. Yeah, they're too strict with me. They should have listened to me all along, you know. Just an amazing, amazing introductory piece here, Pam. Well chosen.
Thank you, Naomi, and great comment. And Martha, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. I love the rhyme scheme. and the flow of it, and it was just a perfect depiction of a child's imagination. I thought it was really great.
Yeah. I have to agree with you. I'm always impressed when somebody can write a parody, you know, the rhyme scheme of the Raven. So I thought that was really cool. Great comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was great, Pam. It was a wonderful, wonderful introduction to the show. I mean, it just had so much going on. I loved the rhyme. I loved the flow. I loved the parody angle of it. I loved the story of it. It was just, like, the whole thing was just very, very, it was a great choice, really. It was a lot of fun. It was fun to listen to.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, you know, I think it was one of those that it was worth spending the extra, you know, 2 to 4 minutes that we, you
Absolutely.
Know. Yep. Great comments, everybody. All right. And up next we have I Want to Be Just Like Calvin by Tama Hawk. And Martha, will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. I Want to Be Just Like Calvin by Tama Hawk. Oh, to be in Calvin's shoes, shy, mischievous, crafty, always blaming Hobbs if it hits the fan. I mean, what could they do to a stuffed tiger? Ever dedicated to teasing and squeezing Susie Deacon out of the teacher's good side, able to go anywhere I please, I just have to transmogrify myself to another form that Mom don't know. Don't have to eat vegetables or drink any yucky milk, except when I'm eating my chocolate frosted sugar bomb. Hey, that fuels my invincible persona, taking on the ice monster of Pluto. Ghoul Schmuel, I know enough. Hobbs and me are vagabonds like Deonogy. We seek the truth, and that truth is I am the situation. I'm always right. Mom and Dad just don't get it. They have a prodigy on their hands, one who will someday rule the world.
Ruh-roh.
Hello? Martha dropped.
Oh, no.
She did. She dropped.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not exactly sure where she left off, but...
she left off in Olaf. She left off. They have a prodigy on their hands.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an excellent
All right. Go ahead, standard. Naomi, if you don't mind.
They have a prodigy on their hand, one who will someday rule the world, Coca-Cola and all drinking fountains, making every day Saturday, so there would be no need for school, ruling big time with a rocky candy fist, Calvin the Conqueror, the beloved idol of millions, Susie Dickens would be my servant, Mom and Dad, my subordinates. No more vegetables. Hey, a fella can dream. Can he? End poem.
Funny.
Great reads. Read both Martha and Naomi. Thank you for picking that up, Naomi. Very much appreciated. I really enjoyed this poem. Tama Hawk was one who... what mentioned being a fan of Calvin and Hobbes. I like that he brings in Diogenes, which another philosopher. It shows, you know, that he, you know, knows about the philosopher type angle to Calvin and Hobbes. I also like that he brings in a lot of the characters, like the teacher, the mom and dad, Susie Deacons, the young girl that. Was always the bane of Calvin's existence. A wonderful tribute poem, wonderful humor. I like the use of the word transmogrify. That's a pretty cool word. I just have to transmogrify myself to another form that Mom don't know. Don't have to eat vegetables or drink any yucky milk except when I'm eating my chocolate frosted sugar bombs. this is just another delightful write that touches on the idea of a child's imagination and all that we think that would, as a child, would make the world wonderful, like, you know, no veggies and, you know, no milk and, you know, all that fun stuff. You know, and so I really enjoyed this, and it was very well done. And Naomi, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I really loved this. You know, and when I read the line with the rock candy, I couldn't help but smile because I remembered how we used to love that stuff. That's the rock candy. It's the ones that you'd put on your tongue, eh, and they'd fizzle. They'd,
no.
Is that
pop
it?
Rock.
That was Pop Rock.
Pardon me?
That was Pop Rock.
Yep.
Pop Rock. Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
Rock candy is like just a hard candy.
Okay.
It's actually really cool the way you make it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
that's why rock candy fist. Okay, I get it. Yeah. But I just love that whole stanza, you know. They have a prodigy on their hands. One who will someday rule the world, you know, with Coca-Cola and all drinking fountains and making every day Saturday and no need for school. And then the last stanza that I read, too, I just loved it. I thought, you know, Tomahawk, this is so brilliantly crafted, but he captured so well the character of Calvin and it throughout all this piece. And, you know, it just such a delightful write, so amazingly well composed throughout. Just amazing, amazing lines. And like you said, Pam, what a tribute. It's just an amazing, amazing piece here.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. I like that you brought up the part that they have a genius on their hands because, you know, to me that part just, you know, embraces the kind of confidence that so many children have in themselves. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So great comment there. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, I think this was excellent all the way through. I said, you know, I just thought that Tomahawk did a wonderful job. But that last stanza, I really thought wrapped it up nicely. Calvin the Conqueror, the beloved idol of millions, Sissy Deacons would be my servant, Mom and Dad my subordinates. No more vegetables. Hey, a fellow can drink, can he? I just thought that was so funny the way he tied it up, and I loved it. It really was a nice job. Excellent work, Tomahawk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Yeah, that last sentence did wrap it up nicely. And do we have anybody on the phone?
We do, and that's what I was just getting ready to tell you. So
okay.
Let me pick it up. I think, well, we actually have two people. I believe the first one is Wayne Gent. Hello, Wayne.
That would be
How are you?
Fine. Running around crazy again, but doing fine.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Naomi. How are you
Hello.
Doing tonight?
We're good. You're here. Hey, how can we be bad?
And then last but not least, we have Martha back. She has returned.
Welcome,
hi,
Martha.
Martha.
Hi, my phone decided to turn off on me.
Oh, it's completely understandable. Happens to the best of us. Good to have you back.
Yeah.
And it's good to have you here too, Wayne. Oh, very
nice
cool. All right. Let's go on to the next poem. We have An Ode to C&H by Weaver of Dreams, and we have a SoundCloud for that. So whenever you're ready, Jean.
Okie dokie, here we go.
I was first introduced to the stories of a duo called Calvin and Hobbes when my children asked for a bedtime tale. It's one of those parented jobs. We grit our teeth for the umpteenth repeat of a princess, a frog, a kiss. But they fooled me, my little darlings, with this combo that could not miss. Here's Hobbes. He's a toy tiger when there are other people about. But when these two are alone, he is real. Of that there is no doubt. Calvin looks at the world with contempt, an out-and-out cynic at six. I chuckled as much as my children did every time he got in a fix. From that very first day until now, I've devoured every book I could buy. And knowing there won't be another just makes me want to shout, why? Bill Watterson, you are a legend. You've given us all so much joy. My daughters and I want to thank you for that tiger and that little boy.
Great read there, Weaver. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, then the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then you get to hear your, we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Martha, your thoughts on this poem?
Martha dropped again.
Boy, poor Martha. Yeah. She's having some phone problems tonight. All right. Well, Wayne, your thoughts on this poem?
Yes, you know, when I was growing up, I never read the Calvin Hobbes. I've always read the other comics I read and stuff, and I think they go about doing check them out more, because it seems like everybody really likes them a lot. But this is a very good, well-written poem, and did a good job with it, and it makes me want to read the comics now. You did a great job with the poem, and I love it.
Absolutely, and that's a great thing when a poem makes you want to read something you haven't read before. Oh, great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh yeah, I just love this by Weaver of Dreams. I loved how she approaches in the first stanza, that bedtime storytelling time. We grit our teeth for the tenth time. Repeat of a princess, a frog, a kiss. But they fooled me, my little darlings, with this combo that could not miss, And then she introduces this Calvin and Hobbes, and such a clever way that she wrote this whole piece, and she described Calvin just so well, in that phrase, in that line there. Calvin looks at the world with contempt, an out cynic at six. And how she drew to really like this duo and these books, and then the last line, my daughter and I want to thank Tiger, that little boy. There's something so nostalgic about that line there, and so tender. She just finishes off with such a note, a sweet note there that I really, really loved, this whole piece really enthralled me. Bedtime stories are such a precious time that create beautiful, everlasting memories for both a parent and a child, and I think she brought it out in throughout this whole write. Just beautiful.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I used to, when my kids were younger, we always did bedtime stories, and it was either reading or making up stories. They grew out of it, but, it's wonderful memories to have. And you're right, this poem, and especially those end lines, are very nostalgic, very tender. This, to me, it's a heartfelt write. There is, heart in this. It shows an appreciation for the Calvin and Hobbes comics and their creator, but in a different way than the other ones that we listened to did. And they're all wonderful. But with this one, I like the fact that it's all about how she discovered Calvin and Hobbes, because it was something different, because I can relate, kids oftentimes want the same books, the same stories over and over again, and you get tired of the predictable, as she says, We grit our teeth for the umpteenth time, repeat of a princess, a frog, a kiss. And then, as you mentioned, that line, but they fooled me, my little darlings, with this combo that could not miss. And it's just wonderful how, you know, her and her children together discovered the adventures of Calvin and Hobbes. And really a heartfelt, I like the thank you at the end. Bill Watterson, you are a legend. You've given us all so much joy. My daughters and I want to thank you for that tiger and that little boy. And I do think there are people that, like, make that impact in your life, even if you never meet them, you know. And so, yeah, definitely a heartfelt right and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought Kate did a great job with this. I really enjoyed the piece. I loved hearing the nostalgia in both her voice and her pen. I just thought it was excellent. So great job, Kate, and thanks for sharing. Really enjoyable.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, and she says that she has every book he wrote, which is actually a good thing because the prices of his books have gone up and up. Like, of an original is like basically collector's items prices. Like, you pay a pretty penny to collect his books nowadays. Yep. Well, very cool there. All right. And great comment, Phil. And up next, we have Your Classic Underachiever by Julie Buck. And it goes like this. I never had direction, your classic underachiever, but also a perpetual paradox with my mental pendulum chronically swinging from an apathetic aura to a firm, foolhardy believer. Paranoia feeds on my person, sensations that hit a dangerous high note. When I'd forge, you know, looking for me so as to settle the score, that was when the infamous epiphany slammed into the proverbial light bulb and screamed, Mister, how eccentric are your brain cells to not know that you can never beat yourself at your own game. May you rarely think so insecure as to negate the things you've earned, nor to think so sordid as to not rebuild the bridges burned, end poem. And Julie chose to write to the Bill Watterson quote, God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now, I am so far behind that I will never die. I like that quote. That is great humor there, you know, and so very cool. I'm glad you chose that. And let's, for something different, Jean, let's start with your thoughts.
I knew you were going to do that because I'm tied up doing something else. I didn't know
oh,
it. I'm sorry.
I am. You knew I was going to ask, so you found something else to be tied up with.
No, peek in the room. Peek in the room. Honest.
Okay, well, no, I'll get back to you. Sorry about that.
Okay.
All right, oh, Naomi, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I love just how she cleverly attacked that prompt, you know, this feeling of never being satisfied with yourself and, you know, always searching to be better and never thinking that you have accomplished enough, you know. I just love when she just sort of like kind of is screaming out there, Mr. How eccentric are your brain cells to not know that you can never beat yourself at your own game. And then, you know, may you rarely think so insecure as to negate the things you've earned. And then I just love that last line, nor to think so sordid as to not rebuild the bridges burned. You know, that is just amazing there. Yeah, just an amazing write here by Julie Buck there on that chosen prompt. Just so intelligently written, I think, you know, just such a great job.
Absolutely. You know, and I really appreciate your comment. Well, first of all, I have to agree with you. A lot of Julie's writes to me are intelligent, so, you know, it's a great observation there. I also like how you mentioned that I saw this quote as the idea of being a procrastinator, as being someone who just puts things off because, you know, they're distracted. And I like that you mentioned, and I have to agree with you, that behind Julie's, within Julie's right is the idea of someone who isn't fully happy with themselves, who keeps wanting to improve, you know. And so I like that you saw that in her right, and I like that idea is in there, in the idea, you know. And to me, well, first of all, on a technical level, this has some wonderful alliteration in it, you know, like, and not like delicate alliteration, like apathic aura, firm, foolhardy, you know, paranoia feeds on my person, sensations that hit, you know, there's a nice flow of sounds. You know, I like that she, you know, the proverbial, the epiphany slammed into the proverbial light bulb and screamed. And the part after that, she put in the bold, so that it stood out. She has this great way of using text to show you what parts are supposed to be emphasized, you know. So really just a clever write and a wonderful take on the prompt, and very well done. And Wayne.
No, Wayne dropped, Pam. Wayne dropped.
Okay, well, all right.
Yeah, I on the other hand have not dropped, and I've completed my mission.
Awesome.
Every time I get sidetracked, man, you all get me every time. I think that this was a really great take on that prompt. The prompt, God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now, I'm so far behind that I will never die. Well, amen to that.
Right.
I'm going to be here a long time too, so I'm totally there. But Julie did a great job nailing that. The way she started this off, I never had direction. Your classic underachiever, but also a perpetual paradox, with my mental pendulum chronically swinging from an apathetic aura to a firm, foolhardy believer. Paranoia feeds on my person. Sensations that hit a dangerous high note. I could keep going with this. I wanted to pluck something out of it and put it down in my comment. It's not a run-on sentence, but it's a running thought throughout. And I think that it's just so well strung together that I wouldn't want to just take a piece of it. And I don't want to quote the whole poem down in the comments, but definitely a great job, Julie, and I really enjoyed it. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Great comment there. And do we have a caller?
I don't know. Oh, we do. Miss Weaver Dreams has joined.
Hello. Can you hear me all right?
I got your headset. Hi, Kate.
Hello, I got a new headset, and I just wanted to see if it worked.
Works
very cool. I'm glad you could join us.
Thank you.
That was an awesome write there, Kate. Oh, my gracious, I just enjoyed it so much. You're right. I just wanted
to say
that.
Thank you very much. One of my favorites, as you've gathered. Absolutely wonderful. So, yes, thank you.
Well, it's great that you could be
absolutely
here, because, you know, it's just wonderful that we could tell from your right and, you know, from your comments in the room that, you know, you are definitely, you know, a fan, and that it was something, you know, important to you and your children.
Yes. Like you were saying, I always encourage the children to read, and they always had like a half an hour before the lights went out to quietly read their books. So I think it's a great thing to instill that in children.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, So very cool. All right. And up next we have The Seed That Waits by Time Teller. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes. I'm just kidding. Okay, The Seed That Waits. Braggy, why do you play with Locky? He has no beard, and this place has become noise. How long do we wait in a corner of a meadow for numbers to fall? Repetition gives rise to volume and yet can be seen as one place. We don't wait here but visit over and over as if we never left. Braggy, my hair is short, my beard gone, my tongue enlarged with ignorance and sight. Cleanse me within the geezers, for they are old-timers who repeat punctuality. Locky, why do you tease everybody? Leave Braggy alone to sing of men and their battles, their lives in waiting for the day they enter Valhalla. Do we not wait also here where the rainbows sing of sapphires and golden rings, where a magpie taunts the shine of scales on a carp in the river of all earthly things? Locky, we are but playful fools in this world of mortal goals. You have us beguiled, that's true, but our beard is growing and nothing now you can do. In this meadow we sit and wait to hear the clang of a kissing gate as lovers enter lives for moments all too brief. How our luckiest, loveliest skies will let us cook and place into her oven for her to bake. She will remember we came not just swords but forks and spades and useful garden rakes. We gave her life to sow a coming wisdom. And when we are with Braggy, leaving Locky to wait behind, she will, with others, build Locky a bright and shiny kingdom. End poem.
Great read, Naomi, and a wonderful write by Time Teller. And he chose prompt number 10, which was the quote, "They say the secret of success is being at the right place at the right time, but since you never know when the right time is going to be, I fear the trick is to find the right place and just hang around." So, and Weaver, let's start with your thoughts on this poem.
Oh, yes. This is a bit where I start to get nervous. yes, I think I understand now, but I wish I'd looked to see what that link was before I actually started to talk, but I've got you now. I know exactly what he was talking about. How long to wait in a corner of a meadow for numbers to fall. Repetition gives rise to volume and yet can be seen as one place. I understand now. It makes so much more sense to me. Yes, very intricate, very cleverly thought out, and obviously very well researched, I think. Yes, it's got some lovely lines here. Here where the rainbows sing of sapphires and golden rings. But yes, I enjoyed it very much.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you. It was enjoyable. It was intricate. And I do believe that it was well thought out. So great observations there. And Naomi, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, luckily for me, one of my favorite shows and favorite shows that I do watch all the time are about the Vikings. So I knew what Valhalla was. And, you know, the name Locky and Braggy as Norse gods, you know. So, you know, I sort of, you know, understood this poem, but I love that Kate pointed out the lovely imagery that was throughout this poem too, you know, because so, that was such an important aspect of this poem, the beautiful imagery that was throughout it. But, you know, I love how, you know, especially in that first stanza, when he introduces Braggy, you know, as, you know, he is the god of poetry, Braggy, the Norse god of poetry. And he is an old man with a long beard. And his job is welcoming to Valhalla the warriors who have died in battle. And he constantly mocked Loki because Loki, you know, he said Loki was lazy and he wasn't courageous and he didn't want to join in the battles. So, you know, that whole aspect of the poem kind of resembles the Calvin and Hobbes a bit, you know, like the kind of sarcasm or mischievousness that you find in the two characters, especially Calvin there. And, you know, the final reference to finding a bright and shiny kingdom to remain in, well, I think that answers brilliantly to his chosen quote there, you know, to find the right place and to just stay in it, you know. So, yeah, just this a well-researched and a very intelligent written piece here by Time Teller.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I like that you brought up that they were both, you know, the Norse gods, you know, Loki or Loki, you know, being, I always have pronounced it Loki. I think it just probably depends on where you're from. But I like that you brought that up, that, you know, there was a consistency with using two Norse gods, one of music and poetry, and one who was the god of mischief, of troublemaking. And you're right, mm-hmm. they did a good job of taking the Norse mythology and relating it to Calvin and Hobbes. You know, I thought this was definitely intriguing and intelligent in taking a different approach to the prompt. And, you know, I really liked the line, "Loki, we are but playful fools in the world of mortal ghouls. You have us beguiled, that's true, but our beard is growing and nothing now you can do." Those lines just were captivating to me. And I thought very well done. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought it was nicely penned and a clever take on that prompt. And I can't quote the prompt off the top of my head, but it, you know, you basically find the right place and you just stay there and you wait for the rest to happen, you know. And I thought that was pretty clever because in this meadow we sit and wait to hear the clang of a kissing gate as lovers enter lives for moments all too brief. How our luckiest, loveliest sky will let us cook and place into her oven for her to bake. She will remember we came not just swords, but forks and spades and useful garden rakes. We gave her life to sow a coming wisdom. But when we are with Braggy, leaving Loki to wait behind, she will with others build Loki a tiny kingdom. I enjoyed the piece, and I thought it was a nice reflection of that prompt. I'm not sure how else to say it because it speaks of sitting and waiting, and it speaks of waiting for that good thing, waiting for the right thing to happen. So I think that was well done. So nice work. Thanks, Time Teller.
Absolutely. And you're right.
Oh, and by the way,
definitely.
I'm sorry. By the way, we have Martha back. So just so you're aware.
Welcome back, Martha.
Thank you.
Glad you can be here. All right. Very cool. Oh, I know. Well, you know, sometimes technical problems happen to the best of us. It's those gremlins, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right. And let's see what we got next. All right. Up next, we have Underground Fort by S. Sharp, and we have a recording for that. So whenever you're ready, Jean.
Underground fort. Shovels in hand, industrious pursuit against the wall of the garage. Digging for trouble. Let's call a spade a spade. We dug, brothers, doing what boys do, like Calvin and Hobbes. Ideas evaluated in retrospect are a bottomless pit. Our fort dug 4 feet deep, standing tall, secret hideout, covered in tree limbs, smothered in leaves. Was every boy's dream until Dad dropped in. Then it seemed as if we had dug our own graves.
That one was definitely funny. I enjoyed that one. Thank you for the SoundCloud Sharp. Very much appreciated. Great read and write. Weaver, let's start with your thoughts.
Oh, yes. It was very good. It took me back to my own childhood because that was something I loved to do. But unfortunately, my mother didn't like big holes being dug in her garden. So, yes, I can understand. So it wasn't the dad that dropped in. It was the mother that dropped in. It was loved, beautifully written. I thought it was so... He brought in quite quickly the Calvin and Hobbes connection, which was great, and him and his brother digging these amazing bottomless pits. Yes, it was most enjoyable. Thank you.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you. It truly was. And, yep, I think many of us can relate to this idea of getting in trouble with our siblings or cousins or, you know, whoever other kids were around that you could get in trouble with. So, great comment. And Martha, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it's great. It reminded me of when my sister and I decided to dig to China. And we got in so much trouble for that before. So we were really digging to China. It's a great poem. I really like it.
Oh, my goodness. That is great, Martha. That is wonderful. Yeah, absolutely. That's the great thing about when a poem brings us back to those fun memories, you know. So a very cool comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I both loved Kate and Martha's comment. They're so funny. And, you know, this is a funny poem, you know, that brings out all those childhood memories. And, you know, he captures so well the brilliant and so brilliantly the fun, mischievous kind of, you know, it's kind of like almost innocent kind of character that Calvin has, you know, but he's mischievous, but, you know, sly and he doesn't really think maybe of all the consequences of his acts, or maybe he does, I don't know, but you know, this made me think of my brothers, and particularly one of my brothers that was had hyperactivity problems, he was the worst, you know. He just drove my mother crazy, and then he drove me crazy too, as my brother. But then I had my daughter Kim, which was a tomboy, and she drove me crazy because she had the same hyperactivity problem. So, you know, and doing all these things, you know, and. So this just brought me back to all that. So I just love this write.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree with you. It is a delightful write. I like that he takes us back to a t- time where him and his brother bonded together. And it does have that mischievousness about it, but that mischievous innocence. And like I said, it's something we all can relate to, the idea of getting into trouble. And you know, if in the moment it's not funny because no kid wants to be in trouble. But as you look back in adults, it gives you those stories to tell. And I really liked how he made the ending into a pun. The whole idea of here they are digging their underground fort right next to the garage, and Dad drops in. Then it seemed as if we had dug our own grave. That was just a wonderful, spot-on, humorous ending and very well done. And Phil, your thoughts?
Oh, my God. Well, first off, I love the right. I thought the right was just perfect. I thought that it definitely captured that prompt very well. And I was chuckling over that. But, oh, my God, when Martha started talking, I went, oh, my God, I think I've been there. And I'm trying to dredge up this memory. I remember digging in the backyard, and I almost think I was digging this china, too. And I don't know if that's true or false. But part of me says I think it is. My memories of my childhood are few and far between. But I started laughing so hard because it was something I would do. It is something I would do. And I remember I was digging for something, but I don't know what. Maybe I was digging for gold. But, yeah, I was in big trouble. So I'm totally relieved.
Well,
so thanks for that. That really brought me around. What's that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and you know, back when we were kids, you know, that was a popular saying, you know, you're going to dig your way to China. So
yep.
It's definitely understandable how as kids we thought that was a possibility.
But, you know, until Martha said that, it totally never entered my mind. And all of a sudden I'm going, wait a minute, I think I did that too. I just started laughing. It was just too good. So whether I did it or not, I couldn't honestly tell you. But Martha, I could totally relate. And I knew I was in trouble no matter what I was thinking. Oh, my God, it was hysterical. That was a good one. Between the poem and Martha, I don't know. Perfect. Just perfect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. And up next, we have It Happened Again by Gerald E. Green. And we have a recording for that one, so whenever you're ready, Gene.
Okie doke.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry. It Happened Again. Written and read by Gerald Green. There is a tone of voice I hear, a certain tone reserved for me, and maybe one for you on days like this, wherever you may be. The pitch is sometimes higher, sometimes lower, depending on the day or time of day, depending on the mood. It always has a subtle force behind the implicating words that might be spoken fast or slow, but always with an attitude of judgment. There's never any doubt that these expressions come from a determined mind, believing it is right, and I am wrong again. I never know when to expect this onslaught. Never know what might elicit such behavior, at home alone, with her, or in a group. It slices through whatever's in its way. With ease, it reaches deep through old scar tissue, finding vulnerable organs at its tip. A simple twist repeats, increases flow of blood that might take weeks to heal, time alone to regain strength, recovering normality away from pain. At times like this, when injury is fresh, when I'm the one receiving what seems undeserved, demeritous accusation, and anger raises its voice in defense, demanding revenge, expressing displeasure, insisting on immediate legal remedy from the highest court of marital justice, where appeals cannot be made, I have an uncontrollable desire to keep score. Visit YouTube for more Gerald Green poetry.
Great read and write, Gerald. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. And he actually wrote to one of the comic strips where Calvin was keeping score because it turned out his mother was wrong and he was right. And I thought that this was a great take on that particular prompt. And Naomi, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pam. You know, it's amazing, very clever how he took his marriage, his whole marriage, and, you know, everything that goes through marriage. And, you know, especially at the end there, you know, when he feels that he, you know, that he's not treated well or whatever, he's not, you know, he wants to take it to the highest court there of marital justice where appeals cannot be made. I have an uncontrollable desire to keep score. I think he captured the personality of Calvin so brilliantly in those lines there. And so I thought this was really a witty, clever take on that comic strip there. This was wonderfully well.
Absolutely, and you're right. I have to agree with you. There was definitely wit in this, and he did capture the personality of Calvin and capture the essence of the comic strip that he chose to write to. But I like that instead of sticking with the mother theme, he brought it into marriage. So it's almost like not only reflecting on his own marriage, but gives idea to the thought that what if Calvin had grown up and gotten married? You know, what would he have been like? There was a wry wit to this that I truly appreciated. I also, that part about the insisting on immediate legal remedy from the highest court of marital justice, I did find particularly funny. I also really liked the beginning. There is a tone of voice I hear, a certain tone reserved for me and maybe one for you on days like this, wherever you may be. And I think whether it's that voice of your mother's or that voice of your wife's or whoever, you know, you know that tone and you know, you know, something is going to get started. So, you know, just, you know, I also really liked, it slices through whatever it is in its way with ease. It reaches deep through old scar tissue, finding vulnerable organs at its tip. You know, like, I like how that goes on the idea of, you know, just knowing exactly how to bring up old wounds during, and which oftentimes happens in fighting. You know, I think it's a clever take on the prompt and very well done. And Martha, your thoughts?
I really liked it. I liked the way he took it and turned it into marriage, but all of us growing up knew that voice that meant we better set up and pay attention. I thought it was really well done and enjoyable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Weaver, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. I mean, this was definitely She Who Must Be Obeyed. Oh, fierce. Wow. In actual fact, I knew I was in trouble when I heard my mother saying, Catherine. Oh, dear. Then you watched it. So, yes. Yes, exactly. So I understand what he means by tone of voice. But, yes, that was a powerful, powerful rite, the fact that he brought all of that together to let us know that basically no matter what he did, he was going to lose. The argument was going to be lost. Yes, it was very good. I enjoyed it.
It truly was. Well said there. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought it was an awesome take on the prompt as well. I thought it was well penned and well expressed. And I love how he converted it over from, you know, Calvin and his mother to a man and his wife. Because the end thing is, you know, that desire to keep score. That was the basis, or what I saw as the basis of the cartoon. And I see that that's what he did in his piece. And I think that it was very well reflected. So I enjoyed it very much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. All right. And up next we have Catching Up by Celtic Queen. And Jean, would you give that a read for us, please?
I'll give it a whirl. Okay. Let me see. There we go. Catching Up by Celtic Queen. What is my reason for living? Why am I here? Oh, yeah, right. I am here to serve others. But I need to do my dishes first and to take care of my family and to give to the less fortunate and to make my bed. I am here to love someone and to be loved. I am here to encourage the downhearted. I am here to solve problems, whose problems, the world's problems. I am here to bring a smile to someone. I am here to speak for those who have no voice. Is there time for all this? No. Can I combine two or three at once? I'm already old. Maybe I've already done one or two or more. Does God really expect me to do them all? I'll have to live forever if he does. I don't think I want to live forever and have all these unfinished tasks hanging over my head. Maybe I can hire someone to help me catch up. And so, oh, my God. I'm living that dream.
You know, I read this before the show, and I honestly thought of you, Jean. I thought, you know, Jean is really going to appreciate that.
That was too good. I can read it. Yeah, I can read it.
Yep. Well, you know, did you want to go ahead and comment?
Oh, well, sure. I think I know what prompt this is, too, because we've already done a write based on the prompt. And, of course, I, you know, don't know what off the top of my head, but it had to do with, finishing before you – I'll never die at this rate. And I laughed at that prompt. It so suits the way I feel a lot of days. But this was great because as I'm reading it, I'm going, yeah, I can wait, I get this. But when I got down to the end, I really did fall apart laughing because that last line just said to me, yeah, maybe I can hire someone to help me catch up. Okay, yeah, that'll happen. But it was awesome and really well done, and I think she really nailed the prompt. Absolutely, I have to say. But I really enjoyed the read. Nice job.
Yeah, absolutely. You did a great read of that. I have to agree with you. She definitely nailed the prompt. So very cool comment. And Weaver, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. I mean, we all can relate to this, I think. Running on the spot and getting nowhere. Definitely hard work. But yes, it was lovely the way she got to the end. As you said, that last line, perfect. Get her some help. The poor woman needs help. She's got everything on her plate. It was very good, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I just love that, this. The question she asked to really emphasizes, you know, all the poem, what is my reason for living? Why am I here? Oh, yeah, right, I'm here to serve others, but I need to do my dishes first and to take care of my family and to give to the less fortunate and to make my bed. And, you know, that's just hilarious all through, you know. I just love this right so much. And what an excellent take on that prompt, you know. Just she just nailed it. So bravo on this right.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Martha, your thoughts?
I really liked it. I thought it was a great write with a great message in it, and it was really well written.
Absolutely. It really is great. And wonderful comments, everybody. Yeah, I enjoyed this. Like I said, I read it earlier, and I thought, you know, I'm going to have Jean read this one, because she'll relate, especially to that ending. And I think a lot of us can. The whole idea of what is my purpose here? Oh, yeah, my purpose is to solve everybody else's problems, and, you know, to do everything and anything, you know. And I really like the questions, like, is there time for all this? No. Can I combine two or three at once? Like, and that's the thing, especially with us, with women. But, you know, there are men that do it too, is we try to see how can we combine, you know, things at once, you know. And I did particularly like that ending with a thought, maybe I can hire someone to help me catch up. I can definitely relate to that. So just a clever take on the prompt and very well done. And see what we got next. All right. All right. Up next, I have your poem up next, Martha. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
A Feel Good Day by Martha Gill. Come on, baby, what do you say? Let's have us a feel good day. Let's find reasons to laugh and smile and just be happy for a while. Let's let the sun shine into our souls. Let it heal all the breaks and holes. I know we can do it if we try. Let's have a feel-good day, you and I. Let's have a picnic down by the lake. We'll pick up a bunch of food to take. We'll lay a blanket on the ground and kiss when no one's around. You go out and dump the gas tank. We'll lay together on the sandy bank. Maybe home just you and I. Watching the clouds flow by. We'll have a picnic down by the lake. We'll pick up a bunch of food to take. We'll lay a blanket on the ground and kiss when no one's around. So come here and kiss me sweet. Baby, you still make my knees go weak. We'll have us a feel-good day, so come on, let's go out and play.
Great singing there, Martha. Was that a recording that you played?
Yes, it was.
Okay, just to let you know, I mean, it's a wonderful poem, and I enjoy your voice. But just let you know, for the future, the quality is so much better if you get the recording to us so we can put it in the studio. Because
okay. Then,
yeah. But no, I really appreciate this song. And you wrote to Prompt 17. And which one? Shoot, let me check. I have to see which Prompt 17 is.
Weekends don't count unless you send them doing something completely pointless.
Okay, cool. And I like that. There's a certain festivity to your song that really fits well with that prompt. And I thought it might be that one, but I wanted to double check. I like that. A feel-good day. Wonderful course here. We'll have a picnic down by the lake. We'll fix up a bunch of food to take. We'll lay a blanket on the ground and kiss when no one's around. Well, heck, I say kiss when everybody's around, you know. What the heck? I have to say, I think the idea of a picnic is, it's such a romantic thought. You know, I don't think people put efforts into dates like they used to. I love the idea of a picnic. I love how you put in here the whole idea of just enjoying each other's company and not worrying about all the seriousness of life, but, you know, rather just being carefree and enjoying the day. So really great right here and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, Martha, I'd spend the weekend with you anytime. Well, not kissing, maybe, but, you know, having a nice picnic down by a lake. Hey, if you make the food, I'm in. Yeah, this was just great, Martha. I just enjoyed the lightness of it, the happy-go-lucky kind of tone to the whole thing, you know. I just enjoyed the whole song. Just amazing job here.
Thank you.
And great comment, Naomi. And Weaver, your thoughts?
Oh yes, it was really entertaining. I enjoyed it. The happiness that comes through. A feel good day. Let's just do something that we really enjoy. And I love picnic too. I agree with that. But you were talking about you should kiss whether there's people around or not. I actually got thrown out of a pub for doing that. So maybe not always.
That must have been some good kissing.
It sure was.
Oh,
mind me, I'm blushing already. Oh, I was such a bad girl. But yes, I'm sorry, Martha. Martha, I do apologize. Let's get back to, yes, it was lovely. And I do enjoy your songs and we'll fix a bunch of food to take. I like that. I lay on a blanket. That it really was. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. And I'm going to go ahead and, let's see, grab the next right and do. Back to Late Night Poets, and up next we have Accomplishments of the Day by Old Faithful. And Weaver, would you give that a read for us, please?
Is it up?
It should be. You might have to refresh. Did I put it in? Let me double check to make sure I put it in the right place. I did.
Yeah. Okay. I just love it.
Do you see it, Weaver? Uh-oh.
Sorry, I didn't. I'm sorry, I didn't. I didn't unmute. I do apologize.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what a twit. Okay. Oh, my goodness. This is just too much at my age. Okay, I'm going to be serious now. Right, yay, I wanted to get that done. But right when I got started, the doorbell rang downstairs. It was my neighbor with a Pascha loaf, which I tried right away while it was still warm. Saw that the houseplants were thirsty, the palm tree needed some mist, and the basil plant some pinching. My ficus had sticky bugs again, so I went to look that up on Google because I couldn't remember what to do. Picking off all those mealy white things got me hungry. That's when I realized it was lunchtime. A simple sandwich turned artisan as leftover avocado, tomatoes, and even basil got piled on top of turkey and cheese, leaving carrots and cauliflower on the side. It started to darken up outdoors, which meant I'd better head out pronto to get my steps in before the rain came. Good thing, too, because it poured fairly soon. Managed to get home, just a little sloshy, nothing a cup of cocoa couldn't cure. Drinking chocolate made me sleepy, so I dozed off, dreaming about teaching a class with no shoes on. Children go wild, I start to yell, 1, 2, 3, and boom, I'm awake. Kind of shaken and tense, thinking, where am I? What's just happened? By now, my phone says it's 3 o'clock, making me wonder what to do next. As I see a calculator, forms and pencils spread in disarray all over my desk, right where I left them this morning, to go do who knows what all day long. End poem.
Great read there, Weaver. And you know, I think it's fun to not be serious all the time, especially when you're. I mean, this is a fun topic to me, and there's a lot of great rights within this contest on tonight's board. So, yeah, I definitely have been smiling a lot. And Old Faithful wrote to the prompt, God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now I am so far behind that I will never die. But he put in his AN also, appreciative of and inspired by Bill Watterson. So I thought that was really nice.
Yeah,
and
lovely.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Martha, your thoughts?
I thought it was really great. We can all relate to making plans and having them all fall apart before they even get started. I thought it was really well written, and I enjoyed it.
Absolutely, and yes, it definitely relatable. You know, there was something in this, as I was reading, especially that first part, that kind of reminded me of the children's book, When You Give a Mouse a Cookie. And the whole idea of you start out with one intention and things just escalate. So I really liked that. You know, I thought that was really cool. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I just loved this. You know, the way everything escalates, like you said, you know, the house plants. And well, he starts out with the Pascha loaf. And then the house plans, and then he has to look up something on Google, and then, you know, and the sandwich. Oh my gracious, you know, the description of that sandwich is just awesome. And then, you know, the walk, and then all the way down just to find out that, you know, he has all this stuff that he had to do strewn all over his desk. And it's there since morning, and he hasn't done a thing. Yeah, this is just an amazing right. And I have to say that I really enjoyed the flow of the whole piece. You know, like the frantic pace of it, the whole thing. And Weaver, that was an awesome, awesome read, by the way. Just fantastic. So yeah, just an awesome poem all through, and I truly enjoyed this.
Absolutely, absolutely, and you're right. He did create within his lines a frantic pace that worked really well for the theme of the poem. So I'm glad you brought that up. And definitely, I've had days like this where I just all of a sudden you realize not much has gotten done because what you originally intended to do, there were distractions. You know, I did also like that second stanza with the mention of, you know, all of a sudden realizing you want to look something up on Google. That happens to me all the time. And then the line, managed to get home just a little sloshy, nothing a cup of cocoa couldn't cure. Wonderful lines there and just very well done. And let's see what we got next. All right. Up next, we have Gravitas or Gravity by Thomas B. And it goes like this. Downhill is a matter of perspective. We are not all downhill skiers. Yet, the speed, the wind whipping, my inner mother says, your ears would freeze. I can remember laughing, pedaling faster, 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 as my friends and I flew down hills around curves, a flood of youthful freedom, bikes on the crest of blacktop, terrors of laughter, fonts of joy spilling across a front yard, bikes tossed flotsam. It is so long ago, it is well-aged memory wine. I have spilled out of the womb into marriage, my own child, and the terror of finding the bottom of bank accounts, job markets, housing, energy. Children should be born with none. Each year we should go a little more, ready to chase them and wear them out, 40, ready to let them rest a spell. No more water over the dam, ready to race horses across the field, chase dreams. We only begin to recognize at 30, never too late, fate only, not for opponent to overcome. I am not risk-averse. At 70-plus, I am just a little too wise about the cost of hitting the bottom all at once and the cost of a long fall. I laugh about what a ball it was to find out how fast can I go, how strong does the wind blow. I can ride the wave all the way until it caves. Never know how it goes. The bottom races up, smacks you in the face, and you taste. End poem. Oh, that was just wonderfully clever. I really appreciate and enjoyed that one. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first off, I have to give him points there, like amazing points of clever and wittiness on that title, Gravitas or Gravity. You know, that is such an amazing title to sum up this whole poem. You know, that is just such an intelligent and, you know, delightful write all through that holds, you know, a deeper message, I think, about the passage of life and, you know, each stage and what it brings. And, you know, that end stanza, the bottom races up, smacks you in the face, and you taste. You know, just such a wonderful write. And, you know, he answered me in his comment that, you know, when he was young, he loved to pedal downhill and make jumps and everything. And but today at 71, he still owns like a spider, so, and he goes down like lovely country roads, like, and he enjoys that, you know, a slower pace, but he still enjoys the ride. So I thought that was an amazing response, and to my comment. So just a wonderful ride here by Tom that I so enjoyed.
Absolutely, great comment. And Martha, your thoughts?
I thought it was a great poem with a powerful message presented in a very humorous way. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And Weaver, your thoughts?
I unmuted this time. Clever girl. Yes, so much in this that was so interesting. You could actually imagine the joy he had taking off from the top of a hill, not knowing whether he was going to smash at the bottom or not, but not caring. Yeah, it was really, really good. As you say, that last line, the bottom races up and smacks you in the face and you taste, ... Yes. I have a theory that we should start off our life as being old and get younger and younger and younger so that we can use all the... So we can use all the experience that we've accrued when we're teenagers. That would be so good. Anyway, yeah. Never mind. Yes, very enjoyable. Yeah, can you imagine?
You know,
at the
Weaver,
very end.
Say, you know what they say, Weaver, youth is wasted on the young. That's
exactly
what they say.
My point. Exactly.
Yep.
That is, of course, we are left at the end, frantically looking for a womb with a view when we've become so young. But yes, this was a very, very, very clever write. And as you said, the title, so good. But yes, I like the downhill aspect of it all and the fact that he would still do it, but he'd be a little bit more cautious. I know exactly what he means. Most enjoyable.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Great comment. And you're right. You know, there is so much we learn throughout life that it's almost a shame not to have that, you know, information ahead of time. But can you, I mean, you know, teenagers already think they're know-it-alls. Can you imagine if they were actually birds? I mean, oh my goodness.
Oh, I never thought of that. I did not think of that. I wish I had. No, I'm going to scrub that book. That's not going to get written.
and welcome back, Jean. Would you like to make a comment?
You know, I thought Thomas did a great job with this as well. His points were well made in the piece. The wonderful imagery and excellent expressions of thoughts from childhood right on through to the current day. You know, and then I went on to quote the last full stanza, you know, I'm not risk averse at 70 plus. I'm just a little too wise about the cost of hitting the bottom all at once and the cost of a long fall. I laugh about what a ball it was to find out how fast I can go. How fast can I go? How strong does the wind blow? I can ride the wave all the way until it caves. Never know how it goes. The bottom races up, smacks you in the face, and you taste. And I just thought it was awesome. I thought he did a great job. Great take on the song.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. I like how this takes us, as you said, from childhood to adulthood and about the lessons learned along the way. But also, you know, touches on that idea of the curious personality that wants to learn from actually getting out there and doing things, you know. So really just a wonderful write and very well done. And up next we have Childhood, an exhaustively researched report by Vamped Vixen. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, sir. Chasing daydreams on a red wagon, a childhood born in a green backyard, two weirdos from another planet, drinking lemonade as Sunday comics, told us all we had to know of life. 6 years old, flying model airplanes, sharing jokes and secret passageways, crossing crystal creeks on fallen logs, bicycling around on the sunniest day until just a little before dessert time. Mothers frown at our green grass stains and weekends of indispensable trouble. We confine the belief the world isn't fair to anxious last-minute researching panic of a report given to our first-grade class. But sleepovers faded while growing up, leaving stuffed animals to gather dust. And the world skinned our bare knees till we found worse is much more likely than we ever created in our minds. So can you come out to play one more time to sit with me and watch the clouds go by? End poem.
Great read, Naomi, and what a wonderful write by Vamped Vixen. She always has such a nice flow to her poetry, even when it's free verse. You know, and she wrote the picture prompt, obviously, of them going downhill. And I like that she put in her AN. I wasn't going to enter this one because I don't know much about the comic strip, but I pulled a Calvin and researched for about 5 minutes and then wrote this up in 15. Hopefully the teacher doesn't fail me. I like the humor in that. That is just great. Yeah, and I do appreciate that she did do a few minutes of research and that she decided, despite her first, you know, thoughts that she wasn't going to write, I'm glad she was inspired because, you know, I think that's part of the great thing about Calvin and Hobbes is even if you just read about for a few minutes, or you look at the pictures, like this one in particular with them going downhill in the wagon, you get nostalgic. You think about your own childhood, your siblings, your friends that you had fun with, that you got in trouble with, as I mentioned earlier. You know, I really like this all the way through, but sharing jokes and secret passageways, cross crystal creeks and fallen logs, bicycling around on the sunniest of days. You know, there's just some really just delightful fun in there. You know, and the whole idea of confined to the belief the world isn't fair. I like that. But the kind of things you learn, you know, through childhood, those lessons. To me, there was a certain tone of sadness in the end lines, and I don't know why, other than I kind of got the impression, even though it wasn't directly said, that, you know, it was at the point where they were grown up and there wasn't no more playing, you know. I don't know why, because it may not even intended to be sad, but for me there was this kind of idea of how we grow up and grow away and get too busy to spend time with people we care about. So excellent writing, very well done. And Weaver, your thoughts?
Yes, I took the same thing from those last two lines. It did seem as if something's come to an end and you've grown up. So can you come out to play one more time? That's the part that got me. One more time to sit with me and watch the clouds go by. Very, very evocative. So yes, altogether it was very well, considering 15 minutes, that was a really well-written piece of poetry. And the six-year-old flying model airplanes, sharing jokes and secret passage, that really was very good and I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I know I definitely couldn't come up with something as good in 15
no.
minutes. Yeah.
No.
So,
15
yeah,
years?
Yeah, you're really
15.
Great comment there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I got that. I'm going to repeat, but I got the same feeling, you know, that like kind of a longing for, you know, or a nostalgic feeling, you know, that lingers on for those days when you're carefree and you don't have all the responsibilities on top of you, like weighing you down. You know, but yeah, I just got that out of those last lines, which were so beautifully written. But I mean, yeah, I have to point out the imagery in this piece, you know. Oh, wow. You know, the just beautiful imagery all throughout. And, you know, and it shows that she did the research because, you know, she has. The world isn't fair, you know, that's like exactly Calvin's character there. And, you know, the anxious last-minute researching panic of a report given to our first grade class, you know, that is in one of the comic strips, too. So, you know, it shows that she did her research in this poem, and it's so wonderfully put together, the whole thing. I just had thought it was just delightful, and I enjoyed it so much.
Absolutely, I have to agree with you. And yeah, you're right, she did have some different references in there that really, as you said, those ones that touched on the comic strip and on Calvin's personality. So great comment there. And Jean, your thoughts?
Oh, my. Well, I love this piece. I really did. I enjoyed the childhood tales that I thought were, I don't know, I just thought they were so well done. Wonderful story, and I love the bouncy feel of the piece. Because there was somewhat of a bouncy feel in my head as I was listening to it. And it could just be the voice that read it, but I'll give it to the poem because I think that prompted it. I thought it was a fabulous last two lines of that. As everyone, you know, has said, it was a nostalgia in this piece to me. You know, the poem sounded real. Childhood memories committed to poem, and I love that aspect of it. But those last few lines, it was it was the person realizing that they were grown up now and they've lost that innocence that was expressed before in the poem. And it's like they're saying to their best friend, you know, or their buddy or their pal or however you want to say it, hey, can't you just sit with me one more time? And can't we just kind of relive that moment? And I thought that was just wonderful. So an excellent job, Vamp Vixen. I really enjoyed this piece.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And great comment there. Great comments, everybody. All right. And up next, we have Tiger Tim and Bob by Rose Winter 515. And Jean, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay, you got it. Let me find it. Yes, I can do this. I can do this. Hey, it's hard to get good help. Okay, here we go. Tiger Tim and Bob by Rose Winter 515. Tiger Tim and Bob escapades togetherness, delight best buddies. Downhill racing fast. Look, no brakes. We're going 100 miles an hour. Parachuting chums, flying through thin air and space, land with sudden bump. Carefully balanced, two friends walk along the plank. High wire acrobat, the readers, our famous duo, point to their press releases. Cartoons show them as, yes, you know who, but they know who they really are. All is fantasy and comics, world delightful. Adventures thrill us. End poem.
Great feed there. And excellent write by Rose Winter, who she wrote specifically to prompts 3, 11, 16, and 22 with general overviews of cartoons and philosophy of life. Very cool, A.N. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I just loved how she took the whole concept of cartoons and, you know, she put them into this write. And, I love, the way her wording and the way she wrote that stanza, downhill racing fast, look, no brakes. We are going 100 miles an hour, parachute chums flying through thin air and space, land with sudden bump, just the frantic, again, you know, a frantic feeling and a flow to that part of the poem that emphasizes that whole adventure there that they're going through. And, you know, I just love the how she finishes this poem, all this fantasy and comic world, delightful adventures that thrill us. So, you know, how tunes can just impact on our lives, you know, and play an important part, I think. So just so wonderfully written here by Rose Winter.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. And I'm glad you brought up the point about how, like, the poem talks about, you know, the how cartoons impact our life. And that was a great observation there. But, you know, I have to agree. I mean, reading the Sunday comics after my grandfather was done with them, you know, was one of my absolute favorite childhood memories. So just a wonderful comment there. And Weaver, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. Again, I like the pace of it. I don't know whether it's the subject, the link that makes it sound so frantic, you know, they're racing downhill and no brakes, we're going 100 miles an hour. But I do like that. There's so much excitement in it and speed and also carefully balanced. Two friends walk along the plank, high wire acrobats. Now, that's just lovely. It really is. Oh, I'm using. I said I wouldn't say lovely again. Stupid woman. Anyway.
It's so lovely when you say lovely.
Oh, I know, but I do nothing. I was so careful. I nearly did it. Anyway, cartoons show them, I guess, you know who, but they know who they really are. All is fantasy in comics, world delight, adventures thrill us. Yes, it was a very well-paced piece of writing. I liked the names, Tiger, Tim, and Bob. It was very good. So, yes, delightful,
absolutely.
And I enjoyed it. Yes.
Absolutely. And you're right. It does have a really nice piece to it. You know, and I like how she brings in the personalities of Calvin and Hobbes and their adventures. And also, I really like mentioned the newspaper readers are famous dual points to their press release. Cartoons show them as guests, you know, who, but they know who they really are. You know, I like to me that within this, right, is the idea of the duality of cartoons. First of all, they're meant to be entertaining, humorous, and fun. But oftentimes, humor and cartoons are used to make social commentary, political commentary, you know, stuff that really people don't, it's that whole, you know, spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. You know, it oftentimes things are tempted to receive. Oh, what's that?
Nothing. Nothing.
Oh, okay.
I just sang the next one. Yes.
In the most delightful way.
It's a sing-along. So, yeah, this was a wonderful write by Rose Winter 515. And Jean, your thoughts?
It's silly that you read my own stuff. I thought it was nicely penned, and it was very much enjoyed. I thought it was a clever incorporation of the four chosen prompts. You know, and thank you so much for sharing that, Rose Winter. Just a really nice job.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. All right. Up next, we have Too Much to Do by Incubus 2. And Weaver, would you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. Yes, I've just unmuted myself again. Too Much to Do. Sliding on knees and climbing trees, or rolling down a hill, wading in streams, hanging from beams, and fishing by the mill. Mud pies to make, or leaves to rake, and puddles I must splash, footballs to kick, ice cream to lick, and saucepan drums to bash. There's hide and seek, and grass to squeak, pressed tight between your thumbs, apples to scrump, and knees to bump, and laggy bands to strum. Pebble to skim, rivers to swim, and woods yet to explore. Stones I must stack and grass to whack with sticks like swords of yore. There's bugs to catch, tadpoles to hatch, and fireflies in a jar. There's games of chase, rain in your face, and wishes made on stars. But that must wait, as it is late, and I must go to bed. But in my dreams, I'll splash in streams and feed the pigeons bread. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Weaver. And here's another poem that has a great, upbeat kind of pace to it. And your reading really captured that very well. So, awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I don't, and you're right. I don't know if it is the subject, but there have been writes tonight, and this one including, that have had a certain bounce to it that I really appreciate. And Naomi, your thoughts?
But before I comment, I just want to say, Pam, this has been such a wonderful night. I think I never enjoyed myself so much on a poetry night. You know, the poems tonight and the laughter, and just thank you for this amazing show. This poem, Too Much to Do, you know, he just captured everything, you know, like little boys do, you know, but some girls, because I had a girl that was, oh boy, yeah, she'd climb a tree and she'd come in and she was bleeding from everywhere and she was just standing there, hi, Mom. And I was freaking out, you know, and then she was like, nothing happened, you know, it's all bloody and everything. But, you know, he captured so well everything, you know, like the from the sliding on the knees, the climbing of the tree, the rolling down a hill, And, you know, he goes on and on, you know, jumping in the puddles and everything. The hide and seek, of course. And, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful ride all through here by Incubus. Just so, so delightful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. I like that. And you're right. It's a delightful ride. I like that he captures that whole personality of a child. Like, not personality, but how oftentimes children have that energy. There's so much that they want to get done, so much they want to explore. I also like that he put in his AM the definition of scrum. Scrump or scrumping is stealing apples from trees. I did not know that. So I have learned a new word, and that is something I definitely always appreciate. But, yeah, this right definitely has a wonderful energy to it and great imagery that makes you smile, but it was very well done. And I am going to have us get one more write in. And actually, you know what? No, I'm not, because I don't want to rush comments. And I do have some upcoming shows that I do want to mention. And so we've got a few carryovers, and I'm thinking I'll put those on my break on through show on Friday. Don't quote me on that. When I figure it out for sure, I will let people know. Before I let other people comment on any contests that they have going on, I do want to mention that for Thursday's Double Helix show, there is an autism awareness contest being run by, we always call him Dexter Bailey or Dex, but his all poetry name is Duke of STP Dex Bailey, and he is running a autism awareness, the contest for the 5th annual autism awareness show by Late Night Poets. All 5 years that we've done this, I have been involved. Having a son who's autistic, it is a nephew. It is very close to my heart. Now, this is a contest open to on-topic pre-writes, you know, and the whole idea of the contest, what we're looking for. If you write for the contest or if you just want to, you know, put something on the board, which will be up tomorrow in Late Night Poets, we're looking for your autism experience, and everyone has one. You don't have to have autism yourself, though if you do and you want to write about it, that's great. You don't have to have a child with autism, or if you do and you want to write about it, that's great. You know, your experience can be even a brief encounter, or even you're new to the process of learning about autism. And yes, I'm talking a lot about this one subject and this one contest, but that's because it is really important to me. And I hope people will write for it, and I hope people will join us. Wonderful show tonight. Thank you, Naomi and Jean, for being great co-hosts. Thank you to Martha and Weaver for calling, Kate for calling in. I got to start calling you Kate too, instead of Weaver. And Wayne, thank you to Wayne. Thank you to everybody who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. And just a wonderful show. I've had so much fun tonight. And Naomi, what do you got for contests for upcoming shows?
Yeah, well, I just put up a new contest for Art of Seduction. It's on first, so first times, like your first encounters, your the first glance, the first kiss. First date, first night, and I have a beautiful art up there by this artist, Daniel Del DeFuno, I think his name is. But anyway, just beautiful art by him. And it's on all your firsts. And I also want to mention... that me and Kate and Diane D will be starting the show Keeping It Brief on Brevity Writers. And yeah, we're really looking forward to that, and I think it's gonna, we're gonna rock it, eh, Kate?
Oh yes, we're really looking forward to that. Yes, I am. I'm getting a little more confident. So hopefully by the time we get to the 13th, I will no longer stumble over my false teeth, and we'll have a good time.
Wonderful show tonight, everybody. And I know we're on the back end of things, but Jean, was there anything that you wanted to say?
No, just a great topic tonight, Pam, as always. And I want to thank everyone who did call in and contribute to the show. And excellent poetry and a lot of fun tonight. Yep, and I'm going to go back and dig my way to China. I had more laughs tonight. Oh my God!
I'll meet you halfway. Martha, I'll meet you halfway.
Okay, good job. Good job.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my God!
So good.
Too funny, I'm telling you. She's good. Okay, ladies. Well, look, it was wonderful, and I thank you all for chiming in, and it was fun.
Indeed. Yeah.
Well, look,
thank you
already.
So much.
The nerve of her. I can't get out of here, that damn woman. Well, I tell you. Okay, girls. Well, I'll talk to you on the other side. You be good now.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.